For a number of years, he was an evangelist, and God was using him mightily. And then, shock of shocks, he went to the pastorate. But I was thrilled, and I have been in the church a couple of times, and God is on the move there. It is really a joy to see what God has done, and I appreciate just his willingness to be used of the Lord and to follow the Lord's leadership. We are very thankful for all that God is doing. So, Brother Ingram, come. God bless you.
Thank you. Luke chapter 5 tonight. Luke chapter number 5. It has been a refreshing blessing to be here. The music has been incredible. The quality of service has been phenomenal. And each and every year, it just keeps getting better. And the standard of excellence, it's a right representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it just makes it a very conducive atmosphere for us to be able to be helped by the very truths that are presented and the burden that's been given here. I love coming back to Falls Baptist Church, whether it be just a prayer meeting or stepping on the campus of the college in the college atmosphere, or just even being here in a midweek service, because each time I come, I'm helped. And I'm helped, and I put it this way, I hope you'll understand, that when I come, I feel like I get a burst of clarity. I mean, there are things like every other pastor has, questions, trying to get direction from the Lord, trying to get God's mind on things. But when I come here, I know that there's going to be clarity. And the reason for that is what we've been hearing. It's because of the presence of the Lord. And so I'm thankful for what God is still doing. And I'm thankful for the emphasis. But I believe that God is a God that has more in store. And no matter where you might be in your journey and pilgrimage, no matter how much you feel like you may have received in these last couple days, God still has more in store. Some of you may feel like you've been drinking from the fire hydrant, but God still has more in store. And so Luke chapter 5, if we can. I like pictures. I like the books back there with pictures. They don't have pictures. I tend to draw in there somewhere. I just like pictures. And the Bible gives us many a picture of the truth that he's talking about, that the Lord's talking about in other places. And the Gospels are filled with pictures of the very truths that we've been hearing. I want tonight to really be that simplistic truth, that which God has been dealing with me about in our church. And I preach this to our church because I was burdened that they would get a hold of some of the things that we've been hearing, that we've been seeing some deliverance and some lives in our church, but I think there are some others that need it, but they're afraid of the mess. And there's already a mess in our life, but some feel like if I don't open up the can, if I don't talk about it, then maybe it won't be too bad. It's already bad. Ignoring it doesn't help. And I think about what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, I fear. He was concerned for the church. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so that your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Getting saved is pretty simple. Getting delivered is pretty simple. It's the devil that corrupts the simplicity. And I hope by God's illustration tonight, true event, that it would illustrate the truth of the simplicity that is in Jesus. Would you join me in standing as we look at Luke chapter number 5, and we'll begin our reading in verse 12 through 16. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he, Jesus, put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him.
And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus preached to great crowds. But make no mistake, his message was directed to the individual. The Lord Jesus' concern was to save souls, transform their life, and send them out equipped to be able to tell other people that there is a deliverer for them as well. He invested himself personally. He gave of his time. He gave of his energy. In Luke chapter 5, Luke deals with four different men who had an encounter with Jesus. And when they did so, their lives were drastically changed. I want us to focus on this one tonight, this man with leprosy, and see the difference that Jesus made in his life. The touch of Jesus upon him. The fact is, Jesus was concerned about this man. And Jesus is concerned about you. I want to preach tonight on this thought. Just get to Jesus. Get to Jesus. Thank you. Please be seated. We see the first man in Luke chapter 5. His name is Peter. He encounters Jesus. Jesus encounters him, and he goes from failure to success. The second one is the one we're going to look at, the leper. He goes from sickness to health. There's the man of the palsy who goes from guilt to forgiveness. And then Jesus sees Levi in verse 26 through 28, who goes from the old to the new. As we direct our attention to the man of leprosy, here's a man who was an outcast. Here's a man who needed something and someone. I read in the 13th century that King Frederick II, he conducted an experiment with 50 infants. He wondered what language a child would speak if it had no interaction with other humans, at least hearing the spoken language. And so these 50 infants were given foster mothers who would feed and change them and clothe them, but they were forbidden to interact by speaking or nurturing or even cuddling these infants. His experiment failed because all 50 infants died. Several hundred years later, we also learned the fact that babies can't thrive. They can't excel without being nurtured and cultivated and helped in their infancy. Mary Carlson was a researcher from Harvard. She too conducted a study. She was amazed at seeing in a Romanian orphanage several rows upon rows of infants in their beds. And the staff was overworked, and so these babies lie neglected. And she noticed the interesting trait that she hadn't seen in other places. With so many infants in one room, she said there was no noise. They were quiet. They didn't cry. They didn't whimper. They didn't make any sound. And upon investigating and examining them at the age of two, Carlson found that these babies had an unusually high amount of cortisol in the brain, which would affect them adversely, and it caused stunted growth. It caused them to be underdeveloped. See, the simple fact is, it's not sufficient only to feed a child and to clothe a child and care for the physical needs of children. Children, too, need something more, and that is the human interaction. They need the nurturance, the nurturing that is critical to their surviving and thriving. This man in Luke chapter 5, he needed a touch. He needed a touch from God. And the significance is, this man was a leper. No one wanted to touch him. No one could touch him. many cases of leprosy in the Bible. One of the first mentioned was Moses. The next was his sister Miriam. Others well known would be King Uzziah, Naaman. This matter of leprosy, the Bible says that Jesus would heal the sick, but he would cleanse the leper. Now, Luke is the physician. Luke, who writes this account, we find this account in other gospels, but when Luke writes, Luke doesn't just tell us this man's in bad shape, he tells us he's in really bad shape. For Luke says of this man that he was full of leprosy. Everything about leprosy is ghastly. It's repulsive. It's a classic picture of sin. For what leprosy does to the body, sin does to the soul. And leprosy, apart from a miracle, in Bible times was simply incurable. The law demanded that those who had leprosy be experience total segregation and constant quarantine. So no matter where they were in their stage of life, no matter what their status might have been, no matter who these people were, whenever they received and found out to have had leprosy, they were completely separated and isolated. Because this man was a leper, there was more than just physical healing, I believe, that he needed. Because this man, he didn't just become one who was sick with leprosy. He became an outcast. His family relationships, as he would have known before, he no longer had. He would have been one that in order to go into a public place, he had to put his hand over his mouth and cry, "Unclean! Unclean!" This man would have been considered the least of anybody. He would have been the last one that anybody would have thought to invite to their birthday party. This man would have been lost within a crowd of celebration or whatever type of event going on. And this man would have been extremely lonely. Luke's introduction of this man is striking. He just tells us this man appears just as an apparition. He's not there and then he's there. Behold a man full of leprosy. And then the next thing we find is that he's at the feet of Jesus and he says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus responds at once and he did something most wonderfully kind. What no one else would have done or even thought to do, that is, he touched him. The man with whom no one was even allowed to associate, Jesus touched. I'm telling you, getting into the presence of God, it is life-changing. Henry Blackaby said, "Meeting with God, having fresh encounters with God, is the deepest need of the human heart." That's why there's an emphasis on the Christ Walk Journal. That's why there's an emphasis upon prayer meetings. That's why there's this kind of an emphasis in a meeting such as this. Everybody faces needs. Everybody in here has needs. Some are physical, some are social, others are emotional. But no need in this room is greater than the need that we all have, which is spiritual. And only spiritual needs can be met by God Himself. Only God can satisfy these desires. And He only does them on His own terms. What people need, in addition to good, sound information about God, good, systematic Bible theology, what we need more than sound theology is fresh encounters with the one who is the creator of that theology. People need to move from an encounter with a principle or a doctrine to an experience with the living God. To stand before God is to stand before the one who created the universe. And to hear His voice is to hear the voice of the one that can deliver. He's the one who graciously provides salvation for all of fallen humanity. Meeting God is life-changing. Everyday encounters with God is part of His plan. No one can leave God's presence and remain the same. No one. We heard today you can have your devotions and still not meet with God. Therefore, you can have your devotions. You can attend Bible college. You can read the Bible and not be affected, but you can't meet with God and not be changed. Here's what most people miss. We just don't encounter God. He encounters us. He initiates encounters, not in order to give us warm devotional thoughts, but to forever change our lives. As He reveals His will to us, we're compelled to adjust our lives in accordance to His activity and join Him in His work. We're surrounded by values. We're surrounded by ideas and standards and viewpoints that are contrary to the Bible and that will leave us disoriented to the living God who wants to meet with us. But every time we open God's Word, we have an opportunity to experience a dramatic encounter with the living God that will shake us and change our thinking. This is why we need these fresh encounters. This is why we need to get to Jesus. This is why we need His touch. We must approach Him this way. And in doing so, we'll never be the same. I think about the high priest in the Old Testament who one time a year would have an opportunity to enter into His presence. And I would often remember hearing, I remember perhaps it was the first time I heard it was in Bible college, that they would have the bells along the bottom of his garment and they would tie a rope to his leg, and so that if he went in inappropriately and they would cease to hear those bells jingling and jangling, then they'd pull his dead body out of there. And that's the way I always heard it. But when I began to experience what I should have experienced a long time ago, just getting into the presence of the Lord, I thought about those high priests that would only go in one time a year. And I thought, if I got there one time a year, you wouldn't need to put a rope around me and pull me out if I died. You might need to put a rope around my leg and pull me out because I wouldn't want to come out. And to think that we can do it right now. Just get to Jesus. If a lost soul can call upon Him right now, right where you sit, then why can't the delivered soul also get into His presence right now? I feel the pressure, just like any other pastor would feel the pressure. We live in a world of, and in a ministerial world of a current of constant change. All these ideas are being pushed around as to what's going to attract a bigger crowd and how are we going to get people and assimilate guests. And I tell you, switching, going from evangelism to the pastorate, I wasn't prepared and I wasn't ready for that. But I too looked at, I want to do the best I can to be good stewards over the guests that God would bring, and I want to know how to assimilate the guests. And so I thought, I'm a novice at this, not a novice at ministry, but I was a novice at pastoring that first year. I still feel like year number five, I'm still a novice at this. So anytime somebody talks about these things, I want to listen. And I listened to a lot of ideas. I attended a conference where I listened to people all day long discuss these ideas, how to attract people and how to get people in. I'll tell you what's missing, what was missing in that entire conversation and in many of these conversations. It's the concept of get to Jesus. I mean, just think. Could you imagine telling Elijah after Mount Carmel? Now, Elijah, if you would just do your lights on the platform this way. And if you would get your deacons just to loosen up on their ties, maybe. At least on the midweek service. Oh, maybe this not working there. Let me try that one again. Well, you amened on the first part. You didn't amen on that second part. Now, tithes isn't the issue. The whole point is, I don't have power because I have a tie, and you ain't going to find power without the tie. Could you imagine saying to Elijah, why don't you try this? I don't think Elijah's interested after having seen the fire fall. We wouldn't be having a lot of the discussions we're having if we have seen the fire fall. How about Peter? After Pentecost. Peter, I want to tell you how you can attract a crowd. Do you know why these ideas are swirling around? It's because we haven't been with Jesus. Duncan Campbell said the greatest publicity of Pentecost was Pentecost. So I've had to ask God to forgive me. Why am I looking for another idea when I haven't fully exhausted His ideas? Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He said in Mark 3 and verse 14 that He ordained 12 that they should be with Him. Let me just give you, if I can, real quick tonight, four things to remember when trying to get to Jesus. Or four things perhaps that will help us when you need a touch from Him. Number one, notice in verse 12, and Jesus answering said unto him, excuse me, let me go back to the right chapter, the air blew my page here. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Here he is in the presence of the Lord. Here he is at the feet of Jesus. Here he is within earshot of Jesus. Number one, may I say, when you need a touch from God, when you need to get to Jesus, remember, number one, remember that Jesus is approachable. Amen. He's approachable. This man did not come right out and state exactly what he wanted, but he did express his desire. We know what he wanted. But here's how he approached Jesus. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He got into the presence of Jesus. And I think we too can get into the presence of Jesus. I used to be a little critical of this man because I would say he knew what Jesus could do. He knew his ability. But he was just uncertain of the will of God. But I don't think that I'm really stating it accurately. I think a more accurate way to say, this man approached the presence of God. He got into the presence of Jesus because he was sure of his ability and he was submissive to the will of God. I don't know what you may be facing tonight, but I do know everyone has a need. And I know every one of our deepest needs is a spiritual need that can only be met by God Himself. We do need to get to Jesus. It's not difficult. The devil will corrupt the simplicity in Christ. But if you and I would just remember and be sure that He truly is able and just surrender and be submissive to the sovereignty of God, I think you'll find Jesus is very approachable. This man desired cleansing, so he submitted, he yielded to the sovereign one whom he knew could cleanse. We know Hebrews 4, verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." What's the purpose? So that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, Jesus is approachable. Jesus is touchable. What hurts you? It hurts Him. James 4 and verse 8, "Draw near to God, He will draw near to you." Revelation 3 and verse 20, we heard the message last year. Jesus says, "I am knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door immediately." What hurts you hurts Him. You know, there was never a time in the New Testament where you find Jesus turning away hurting people. He doesn't do it. He's approachable. One man said that when he was a kid, he lived in a little two-bedroom home, and when he was scared, he'd get up and go into the other bedroom where his mom and dad were sleeping. They were sound asleep, and he was scared because of the storm, and he was scared because of the dark, and so he would sneak in and crawl on his hands and knees, and he would go to Dad's side of the bed. He knew where Dad was sleeping because he could always hear him snoring. And he said he never had to wake up his father. He just would reach up and touch his hand. And it was enough to bring him comfort so that he could go back to sleep. The songwriter wrote, "I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone in my distress. He kindly will help me. He ever cares and loves His own. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He's a kind and compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make all of my troubles quickly and end. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share." Number one, Jesus is approachable. Number two, Bible says in verse 13, Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." Number one, He's approachable. Number two, would you remember? Jesus is willing. The Lord didn't shy away from coming into contact with the presence of this one who was defiled, this one who we could say it was messy. Jesus didn't shy away. Not only did He not shy away, but Jesus was willing to step into the mess of His life. Jesus is willing. I read about a museum that was having trouble with people, the patrons constantly touching the expensive art. It was soiling the priceless furniture and art, and so they'd put up these do not touch signs, and they were doing exactly what we've heard Dr. Jim say in messages. They see the do not touch sign, so they touch. But the problem evaporated overnight when one of the clever museum employees, he replaced the do not touch sign with a sign that read, "Caution, wash hands after touching." They stopped touching. Why? Because people are afraid of contamination. You know, for years in evangelism, I would just mention pornography. And this was before the Conqueror series was introduced. And I would mention pornography, and I knew there was something going on. But I would also say, it just seemed to be so new that though that pornography was a problem. And there were other things, there were other issues, but I just remember specifically pornography. But I knew it was not just a problem with those who were struggling with pornography. I knew there was a problem with even the pastors. Not that the pastors were involved in pornography, but that I believe many of the pastors did not want an invitation given regarding pornography because they didn't know what to do with them. I mean, the best counsel that one pastor said that he gave to men that were struggling with pornography was, well, just stop it. They don't know what to do with it. Some don't want to be contaminated. Some don't know what to do with the contamination. But I'm telling you, Jesus can. He's willing. And He'll step into the mess. He's the great cleaner-upper of the mess. Does the Lord heal every person physically? No. On the other hand, Jesus will touch everyone who's willing to be touched. I'm talking about the actual physical things that need to be healed. Sometimes God says no. And people wonder, well, why does He say no? And I say, I'm not sure. You'll have to ask Him that someday. But even if God says no, He said no to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. But I want you to know, Paul tells us that Jesus touched him. And what Paul learned as a result of what he was going through, Paul says, I most gladly, therefore, rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ, that the touch of God would stay upon my life. Hey, Paul, he experienced some things at the throne in the earlier part of that chapter. We don't know what all he experienced, but what we do know is it seems that it had greater effect what he learned from the thorn, because he was able to experience the presence of the Lord. Remember, Jesus is approachable. Remember, Jesus is willing. Would you remember a third thing? Look at it in verse number 13. Jesus said to this one who needed a touch, who needed the presence of the Lord, who was last, least, lost, and lonely. And in verse 13, Jesus says, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Remember that Jesus is approachable. Remember that Jesus is willing. But number three, would you remember that Jesus truly is able? Amen. You say, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't. But Jesus does.
Amen.
It's one thing to have a heart of concern. You watch the video that we saw, and I'm reminded that can be repeated over and over and over. And then you look at the news and you see the social aspect of our society, what bullying is doing and the campaign to stop bullying. And you see these kids that are lost and lonely and hurting and scared. And it's all over our country. There's an epidemic that is there of people that are just looking for something and someone. You just want to put your arm around them. Thank God for the bus ministry, the buses that still go and pick up some of these who are the least and the last and the lost and the lonely. But it's one thing to have a heart of concern, and it's a whole nother thing to be able to do something about it. We can be concerned, but we can't fix those hurts and we can't heal those wounds, but Jesus can.
Amen.
Jesus is not only willing to save whosoever will. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, He is able to save to the uttermost. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, He's able to do it now. In Psalm 34 and verse 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him, delivered him, not just out of his troubles, but out of all of his troubles. And the fact is, He'll do the same for you. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me. You know it. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Ephesians 3 and verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Don't you get to Jesus? The participle shows that there's a simultaneous action. There's a synchronizing here of Jesus' word and His work. And Jesus says to this one, "I will, be thou clean," and immediately the leprosy departed from him. I believe that as the words were being spoken by Christ, the act of deliverance was being performed. Before the hand of the Savior reached the leper, before the sentence was complete, I believe the leper was clean. His touch was a life-changing touch. But His words were the life-changing words. Hebrews 1:3, "And upholding all things by the word of His power." Genesis chapter 1, we know over and over, God said. And what would happen when God would say it? It would happen. And He would then say, "It's good." There's some bad things within our lives. But if we'll allow the word and the work of God to synchronize, you say, "Well, how does that happen?" Get to Jesus. And you'll find that what God says and what God does, He will then say, "It's good." Jesus said, "I will." His response to this man's faith submission, this man's deepest desire, was not thrown at Jesus by way of a demand or even a petition or even a request, but in submission to God's will and recognizing His ability and knowing that Jesus can make him clean, Jesus responds, "I will, be thou clean." Jesus delivered him and the leprosy left him. And this man then becomes one of the "such were some of you." Would you remember Jesus is approachable? Would you remember Jesus is willing? But don't forget that Jesus is able. He can do something about it. Too often when we have a problem, we approach the Lord as if He's our last hope of desperation. I wonder how He feels about that. Mendelssohn, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, which is always probably a wise thing to do before coming into a musical audience, is to pronounce musicians correctly. But he visited in Germany a great cathedral and he heard a great organ. And he went to the organ loft and asked if he could play the instrument. But the old organist was possessive and jealous of his instrument. And he refused. But Mendelssohn, the great German composer, he prevailed. And he was allowed to play the organ. And after some time of playing, the owner of that organ stood by and listened with amazement. And he suddenly laid his hands on the shoulders of the musician and exclaimed, "Who are you? What is your name?" "Mendelssohn," replied the player. And the organist said, "And can it be that I had so nearly refused to let Mendelssohn touch this organ?" But I'm reminded of how many times I've refused to let God have His way in my life. Yes. Because I was too afraid of the outcome. Little did I know that if I would just let God do as He sees fit, the outcome would be much greater than anything I could have ever dreamed. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What part of your problem is too hard for God? What is it that's keeping you from coming to Jesus tonight? One wrote these words, "It's out of your hands. You've done all you can do. You've given God the problem. It's no longer up to you. You've prayed the prayer of faith. You're standing on God's truth while you're waiting on the answer. He has a question for you. Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond His power to solve? Are there situations that He's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God? Only believe. Trust His Word. You'll see His plans are now unfolding, performing perfectly. And it's clear, it's very clear how much He loves you. Look at all He's done. For all of your questions, there's really only one. Is anything too hard for God? Would you remember tonight, He's approachable. Amen. You can get to Jesus tonight. Everybody who wants to be touched by Jesus can be touched by Him. He'll send nobody away. Number two, He's willing. He cares. He truly cares. If it concerns you, it concerns Him. Number three, He's able. He can truly do something about it. And He won't just listen. He won't just dabble with it. He can deliver. He can deliver from all of your problems. Let me just touch on this. Number four. Look at verse number 14. He charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Number four. Remember, when you get to the presence of Jesus, and remember what when the Word of God and the work of God synchronize and do its delivering work within your life, would you remember number four? That Jesus is worthy. You know, the Lord changed this man. And this changed man was told by Jesus to go and show yourself to the priest, which was required under the Mosaic law pertaining to the cleansing of a leper. And it says this in verse 14, for a testimony unto them. The last phrase of verse 14, for a testimony unto them, unto the priest, I believe that is. And no one had performed this ritual since possibly the cleansing of Miriam in the days of Moses. But here, this is to happen, and it's for a testimony. You know, what God is wanting to do within our life is to establish a testimony that there is a deliverer. God wants to do something in your life. God wants to take us from being the Marthas only in ministry to developing a Mary that will sit at the feet of Jesus, will hear His Word and experience the presence of God so that we can be more effective in the work of the Lord. But how are we going to reach people? By being in the presence of Jesus. See, if we're out of touch with people, if we're not seeing people saved, if we're not successful seeing people discipled, if we're not really successful at assimilating guests into our church, it's not because we are too traditional. It's not because we're stuck in the past. And we're not trying to be old-fashioned. Like 50 years ago, we want to be timeless like 2,000 years ago. The reason why folks are not sticking, it's not because we're not changing up things enough to stay current with the trends. The reason why we're not effective in touching people is because we're out of touch with God. Programs are good, but they're not designed to be an end in themselves. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? It was something that was to symbolize the presence of God, the power of God, the protection of God, the provision of God. When the Ark was there, it did something for the people. When it's not there, it did something to the people. Wouldn't it be great if there was something today that would represent the presence of God, the power of God, the protection of God, the provision that God has for people? And Paul told Timothy, it's time that people learn how to behave themselves in the house of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. You know what our mission is? It's a great commission. It's not to attract a crowd, it's to make disciples. which means we don't have to cater to the consumers. Consumers don't know what they're looking for. I had a lady send me an email, and she was stating some things I should not do. She was a guest, things you should not be saying from the pulpit. There's a couple things I don't remember, but one that stood out. She said, you shouldn't say idiot from the pulpit. And I thought, who is this lady writing me this email? Tell me what I should say and not say from the pulpit. And I recognized I got one of these letters from these other pastors, and this is what they send out. And one of the questions they asked is, any advice you have for us? And I said, well, that's dumb. And I said, we're not asking that question anymore. But she was just simply responding, but she probably felt like, you know, the customer's always right. And so I'm going to tell you what you should and shouldn't do to please the customer. And so for the next five messages, it was weighing heavy on my heart. I use the word idiot more than I've ever used in my life. A consumer doesn't know what they want. The church isn't here to attract consumers. The church is here to make disciples. But the reason why we capitulate as leaders to listening to the consumer is because we've been out of touch with God. When you've been in the presence of God and you've experienced God, the reality of God in your life and the touch of God in your life, you can't help but tell people there is one who is real. There is one who cares. And if you'll just taste and see, you'll too want them. Jesus told this one who was delivered, go and tell nobody. Instead, it seemed like he went and told everybody. And Jesus tells us, go and tell everybody, yet it seems like we tell nobody. I'm simply saying, it's only because we're not in the presence of God. This man not only needed to be changed, he wanted to be changed. He got himself to Jesus. Maybe this evening, you're alone in the darkness, and you've been wondering, is Jesus still listening to me? Is He truly aware of my suffering? And is this the way it's always to be? My friend, I know the answer to your question, but don't just trust my opinion alone. You should ask the host of others who've been there, and their stories live on. The writer wrote, just ask the woman at the well, the thief on the cross, the lame man who was walking, the dumb, who will tell it all. Ask the beggars and lepers who've been touched by His hand. Can He handle your impossible task? They know the answer. Just ask. Would you stand with me, please? Heads bowed tonight. Lord, I preach the burden You put on my heart, and I pray that You would somehow use this. And Lord, we do need to be in Your presence, and I believe that we're not looking for the sensational by any means. We're not looking for something emotional. But Lord, we do want to be in the presence of the ungrieved, unquenched Spirit of God. There are needs deep that are deep. There are needs that are real. There are needs that are they're messy. But You're approachable. You're willing to do something in every person's life. And You are able. Not just with the big ones. Not just with the convenient ones. Not just with some of the needs, some of the problems. But with all of us. And all of it within our lives. And then when You do it, You're worthy. We could spend the rest of our lives in ministries telling others that there is a deliverer who is approachable and willing and able. Lord, do what only You can do tonight, and I pray that You'd give the direction I pray that you'd give the awakening that's needed. In your name we ask. Amen.